Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Can I kick it?
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley, here till 11:30. White Sox Weekly, coming up with Tyler Aki. Paul in Valpo wants to talk about the Cubs here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. I kind of just actually perfect timing with the last caller. I mean, I agree as a Cubs fan who goes to a lot of games. You know, I don't see it as dire as you guys are kind of making it out to be. And I think, you know, personally, I've listened to Brian for years and years back to his days on the other station. I think it's more of a personal thing with the Ricketts. From that point of view, and I think he was one of the big voices that said that they shouldn't have done the rebuild to begin with, and then they come back and win the World Series. In just a couple of years after the rebuild, I don't think it's as desperate a situation. You got guys like Horner, you've got younger pitchers. Yeah, I know Keegan Thompson and Steele are a little bit up there in age, but that doesn't mean that they still can't be good pitchers in their prime here for the next 4 to 5 years at a decent cost. If they keep Contreras, and maybe they trade him for more prospects, but I keep going back to the Darvish deal. That guy actually had his facts. Tim knows that these are good minor league prospects. Part of the reason they weren't ranked as high was because of the COVID, because of the pandemic, and they were young. So if those guys do pop, then a lot of guys are going to come back and probably not realize that it wasn't that big a deal. The Cubs weren't going to win anything with Darvish anyways. So I just think that the kind of negative, the Ricketts, show us what they're making from Marquee, show us what they're making from the outside the ballpark. We also realize that the city gave them no money to do that, like they did on the south side. They didn't give them any tax breaks.
I absolutely agree.
They had to do it all out of their pocket.
Absolutely.
Jerry Reinsdorf tried to pinch them on doing the stuff in Arizona even with the minor league team. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that have been against the Ricketts, but I think it's more of a political thing. They don't like their political view, so people just pile on and on.
Paul,
if they put money in and they win a World Series in 2 years, what would you guys say then? Will you come back and say, hey, now they're back spending money again?
Paul, here's a point, though. Are you not disappointed that they have not been able to maintain a competitive stance in this, a major market like a team like the Cardinals? I think that's really the argument here.
They made the playoffs in the COVID year. Last year was bad. This year, they would have been competitive. We talk so much about how many injuries the Sox have had. How many injuries have the Cubs had?
They're probably up there in major league.
So this team's a competitive team. Whether they win a division, I don't know. Probably not. But no, they're competitive if their five starters aren't hurt the whole year. Stroman, they paid for. Suzuki's hurt. Horner was hurt for a while. You've had relievers that have been hurt. So we never talk about the injuries. We talk about how bad that Ross, people should be mad at Ross, but what about all the injuries he's had? It's easy to pile on now because they've lost a lot of close games.
I said I like David Ross, and I don't know if he's a good manager because I don't know. But you would think a fan
base. But you're mad that only 4% of Cubs fans aren't saying it's more his fault.
I'm just saying realistically, you would think there would be a 2 in front of that 4 just because of where the team's
at. You want fans to be as mad as you because you don't like the Ricketts.
Let's back up to the beginning of the call.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of interaction with Tom Ricketts. I used to host the Ricketts family segment at the Cubs convention. I have nothing against Tom. He's been nothing but good to me, and I've enjoyed being around him. It's not a personal thing. But with the title of chairman of this team comes expectations, and you can have a criticism and a critique and a point of view and still like the guy.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I've said a number of times, if you met Tom Ricketts on the street, you wouldn't know he's a billionaire because he comes off as a regular guy, and he's got a good sense of humor. And it's easy to talk to and easy to be around. That doesn't have anything to do with taking a business model and taking a, like you said, Mark, picking a lane when other teams can pick a lane and do both. They can restock the farm system on the fly. They can make good baseball decisions. The Darvish thing was a salary dump. Okay. If and when one of those guys comes up and is an all-star or an actual starter on this team that's contributing to winning, and I'll sit here and tell you I was absolutely
right. Right. You're right about that. At that moment, that's what it was. They got some talent, but it's not here yet. We don't know what that's going to shake out to be. And that caller right there, I appreciate the passion. I appreciate the other side of the coin. But what we're talking about here is the fact that this team may be a 99 losses on the season. Is that what you really hope for, and you're okay with that for the future? I mean, our question is, why did we have to drop this low to begin with? Now, are injuries the reason why this has happened? I don't think so.
Well, look, it's part and parcel. They have really
it's part of it, but it's not. You can't just say, "Well, the injuries, that's what did it." Otherwise, we would have been a competitive team. Can you really say that?
No. If you told me, if you looked at that starting rotation before all the injuries, I mean, at best, is it? I mean, you know, mid-level, middle of the pack. Yeah, you know, I mean, God bless right. Kyle Hendrickson. He's had a horrible year when he's been healthy for the most part, right? And Tom Ricketts told you we have more than enough pitching. Well, apparently you don't. So I said at the beginning of the show, it's a tough team to get a handle on because they have 12 extra inning games, but a young slash bad team that doesn't know how to win is 3-9 in those extra inning games.
Right.
So you get credit to a point for being competitive in a handful of those games. And we've seen them on either side of the ledger on blowouts. We've seen them win by 10 runs and lose by 10 runs, right? I mean, that's just the growing pains. The point is, you know, I'll go back again. When I was for the rebuild, when Theo came in and told me what he was going to do, it's Theo Epstein. He did it in Boston. I had full faith that he was going to get it done.
Absolutely.
Here.
You knew he Absolutely. Knew what to do. What was going on?
And it was Theo and Jed, but it was always Theo first. And, you know, Theo was the one on the back page of the Sun-Times walking on Lake Michigan, walking on water. There was a picture of that, right? So I don't know if Jed can do it as the guy. He was a guy, a good part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a bit 1A. But I don't know now that he's the guy with a different set of marching orders. I mean, Theo told Tom Ricketts how they were going to spend and when they were going to spend and how much they were going to spend. Jed's not on that side of the conversation.
No,
right
he's
now.
Not. He's being told.
Yes.
No, you've got a great point. And again, there will be those fans that support what they're doing. And that's not everybody. And if you're not happy with what's going on, you can make your voice heard, as we were talking about. Now, go ahead. You were teasing about how the cost of doing business on the north side and the product that they've built, all things considered.
Well, look, the Marquee Network is, you know, it's a newbie to the cable game, right? Mm-hmm. Because they just decided to go this route and it took them a few years to get up and running. And here it is. It's very important to a team's revenue stream. When you look, the Dodgers, who are valued at $4.08 billion, last year had $189 million in cable fees, which is really ironic since half the city can't get the Dodgers on TV, right? They got that was a Time Warner. And whatever reason they made all the money off the fees, but for whatever reason, half the cable systems don't carry them. Yankees, not surprisingly, are second at about $140 million. These are surprising teams, though. The next three, Philadelphia Phillies, making more than $100 million by cable rights and media rights. The Angels making over $100 million. And Jake's team, the Texas Rangers, with their new ballpark, are making over 100. Those are the top five. So once the marquee money starts really piling in, but I assume the team was going to have to be better than a half game out of last place in the division for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Then they're really going to. And I said the advertising patches on the uniforms next year, teams get to keep that. The stickers and advertising on the helmets are going to go help pay for the playoff or the pool arbitration pool for all the guys who aren't eligible to, you know, they're arbitration eligible or not arbitration eligible rather, but they're going to get that pool of money for the up and coming stars of the game. And they're going to divvy up 50 million mm-hmm. or billion or whatever it is. That's going to go, the helmet advertising goes to that pool and the teams can sell.
It's going to start looking like a stock car.
And that's fine, but that's going to be another 10% and probably more for major market teams in terms of revenue.
Now, you shouldn't get our conversation wrong here. I'm not going to speak for you, Brian, but I'm pretty sure we're on the same page here. I don't mind if the Ricketts makes a ton of money. I don't care. That's great. I hope that they do. But as a baseball fan, I want to see that they're doing everything that they can to put a competitive team out on the field. Being that this is a major market, I don't feel like they should have dropped to this point. Whether it's Theo's issue and they left Jed holding the bag, and that may be the case. They just neglected that. We know that the three big names, four big names, well, three of them, right? It was Bryant and Rizzo and Baez all turned down offers to stay here. We get all that. We don't mind that they make money, and the Ricketts family is going to make a lot of money. Just don't cry poor and give us the best team possible. Has that happened? I don't think so.
I wouldn't have paid Chris Bryant what Scott Boras expected either because of the injuries and the decline in the past few seasons. Same Javi Baez, too inconsistent.
Right. I
mean, electrifying player, and I love watching him when he's on.
And nobody got the money that they were originally offered from the Cubs anyhow.
And Anthony Rizzo turned down a lot more money than he ended up getting from the Yankees.
Yep.
So that's on him. And I'm with Jed. You can sleep well at night knowing that you gave them fair and market value. But you could have taken that money and reinvested it immediately. And we always
Point. Why wasn't that money? And they're talked about, well, there's a pile of money waiting for the right. Why is it still sitting there? Why haven't they done something? There were plenty of ways to use that money in the offseason.
Right. And they can't tell you how long this is going to take. And you're optimistic if you think it's 3 years, because where's that starting pitching going to come from? And I like Keegan Thompson. I like watching him pitch. And you know, but that guy isn't the ace of a staff that's going to get you to a World Series by any stretch. But, you know, Boston Red Sox, we always talk about how the Cubs emulate and take the business blueprint from Boston. Look at this. Boston's third on this list at $3.9 billion to the Cubs' fourth at $3.8 billion. They both increased their the worth of the franchise in the last year by 13%, identical.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boston Red Sox made $69 million in operating income in 2021 when most teams lost that much.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cubs were fourth at $68 million to the good. I mean, you couldn't get mirror numbers any closer to this, right? I mean, that tells you. And yet Boston didn't say they weren't very good starting out, but they had every intention of being good coming into the season.
Right.
And they're playing better.
All very valid points. Again, it's not about how much the team makes. It's about putting the best product on the field that you can. And if you leave any money on the table and you don't do that, you've got to wonder why that's their approach.
Well, look,
the same thing with the South Side. You know, Reinsdorf is only going to spend as much as he's going to spend, and we've seen those limits seemingly.
And our caller's right. I mean, the Chicago White Sox leveraged, there was a 1988, leveraged that deal when they were negotiating with Florida down at the Suncoast Dome or whatever the hell it was
mm-hmm.
in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tampa was whatever they were going to give, they were going to give them. And Jerry Reinsdorf is an astute businessman. Now, as a taxpayer, I don't really care to be paying the bill all these decades later, but we are with the Sports Authority because guess what? Especially the hotel tax that was supposedly going to pay for all that and not a dollar of taxpayer money. It was all going to come from tourists paying in the extra percent on the hotel rooms. Well, that didn't come to fruition either. That's what Soldier Field is costing taxpayers as well, because they're all pie-in-the-sky estimates. And they all sell it as if it's going to be money that's spent from somebody else who doesn't live here. And that never ends up being the case.
Never.
No. So, I mean, good business by Jerry and does well by his investors. And that's what he's supposed to do. But our call is correct. The Ricketts family tried to get infrastructure around the ballpark, whatever. And Rahm Emanuel, and I think the caller is accurate too, didn't have the same politics as the Ricketts family and was not interested in playing, you know, and even having those conversations.
Right.
But I think the days of financing stadiums, and you'll see it with the Bears in Arlington Heights, the public taking a big, large piece of that pie and ponying up, not going to happen in this state, which is bankrupt, by the way. It's just, it might happen elsewhere, but it's not going to happen here.
Right, right. All right, so we're going to come back from the break, set you up with the results of the poll. I'll give you the starting lineup for the White Sox as we approach White Sox Weekly. Tyler Aki is on that today, starting at 11:30. Pre-game starts at 1:30. First pitch in Minnesota against the Twins. Game 3 of 4, White Sox at 2:05. Lance Lynn is on the bump. Xander and Hanley, be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
All right, White Sox Weekly coming up here on ESPN 1000, your home for the Chicago White Sox. 11:30 We'll have that Tyler Aki sitting in the chair today as Connor McKnight is on his way up to the Twin Cities. He'll be involved in the broadcast tomorrow. We've got Lance Lynn on the Hill today for the White Sox. They have won 2 of 4, and here is the way the lineup shapes up for today, Brian. Tim Anderson leading off at short. Yoan Moncada, he's still in the 2 slot, third base. Andrew Vaughn batting third, DH. Jose's at first base. In the cleanup spot in right field, Gavin Sheets. A.J. Pollock is in left field, so Eloy is not in the game. Josh Harrison at second base. Sebi Zavala behind the plate. He's been a real asset since coming back from AAA. And Adam Engel in center field, so Luis Robert also not in the lineup today. We don't have any official word on either of them. But again, Engel provided that home run last night. Certainly a glove you can rely on. And no Leury García. I'm smiling. Did we lose Brian?
No, I'm here. Oh, okay. Eloy took swings in the cage yesterday, so okay. But they're going to give him these 2 days, I think, and just give him the extra time during the break to make sure that, I mean.
Yeah, that's fine. But when it happened, didn't you go, oh my God, not again. See, to me now, immediately I said, that's it, DH. But Tony has a point. When you DH and you hit, you can't have somebody else run for you. You have to use your legs. So what is wrong with this man's legs?
Unless the medical staff puts you on the do not run list.
Well, yeah, but I've yet to see. Now, Tony, if there's a way to do it in the rules where you could have somebody, as a kid, we did that sometimes. Somebody hurt themselves and they can only bat. You have somebody just lined up next to them to run.
When you're calling, call your field. Or
Yeah.
You didn't have enough guys to play a full game.
Right out, so. Don't hit it to right field. You're automatically out.
Yeah. But to err on the side of caution with Eloy is probably good because I'm watching that, I was like, oh, boy, is that the hamstring again? The first thing you thought, right? And I got friends, big Sox fan friends, Texan. No one saw that coming. He was going to be back.
There was a collective sigh across Chicagoland. Right. I just heard, like, oh, my, he's wincing. He's running.
Know, right?
Why? Why? Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I really, really don't. Now, I know I'm bagging on Leury, but, you know, Josh Harrison has really been strong defensively. His bat's here. He's a fun guy to watch. And Leury seems to be a replacement now, which I think is the best way to use him. He played yesterday. He's going to be rested.
Just go get Ian Happ. I'm telling you.
For Leury? Okay, done.
No,
I'll make that trade right now.
No, I'm just
okay, thank
place,
you. Thank no, you. You just said that out loud. That's going to happen.
I didn't. I'm not drinking.
mark that.
Mark that. Mark that time.
No. Yeah, okay, cap. But, you know, no. I said get him for second base. We don't want Leury. No, thank you.
Well, Josh is doing fine.
Okay, but Happ will probably do better. He's a switch hitter. He's got power. He can, you know.
If we're doing that, I'll put Happ in left field.
Okay. He can do both. See, he's
not at the same time.
No, but in the same game. I mean, so I'm telling you that it's an obvious move to make. And you know, I'm with all this stuff. You know, when Len brought up Grandal, we all hope that Grandal comes back and is a lot better than he was. But the pitchers sure seem to like to pitch into Sebi, right? And he made that great catch in Cleveland the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just a guy that, you just look, I mean, you like the way he just kind of composes himself out there, right?
Yeah, it's weird. He's like quietly aggressive.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what happened at the end of the game the other day. It's just ridiculous. It seems like every baseball player is just looking for somebody to look at them wrong or just a slight flinch. And everybody just wants to run out of the bullpen in the dugout.
The field, Mike picked it up. He said, you're standing in front of the bleeping plate.
Wish he had every reason to say that.
Exactly.
As a catcher, I would have done the same thing. Like, move.
That's what he's saying. I mean, he's just like, hey, you can move. I'm trying to do my job here. You're right. Working over here, working.
Right.
And he's just like,
why somebody took exception to that? And what, was it Celestino?
Right.
Ridiculous.
I mean, come on now. I mean,
well, you know what? They got their ass handed to them. You know, in that game. So they were a little butthurt. You know?
Of course. But I'll tell you what. If the executive of the year was handed out today, you don't have to look any further than Cleveland. Because as we're talking about payrolls and everything else, right now, the Cleveland GM, is Mike. What's his last name? But he's doing this. You wonder how they're doing it. He's doing this with a $68 million payroll, right? Now think about that. Only three teams have a lower payroll than Cleveland: Pittsburgh, Oakland, and Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore.
Mike Chernoff.
Mark Chernoff ran the Fan in New York forever.
And yes. Mark's they're siblings.
That's his son.
Mike is okay. Okay.
As a matter of fact, now the way Baltimore's coming on, maybe there's a conversation to be had there. But I mean, Cleveland.
Oh, there definitely is, without a doubt.
But if Cleveland wins this division, I'm telling you, Mike Chernoff is done a hell of a job.
Yep.
You talk about spending intelligently. That's how you do it.
And they've done that down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Same situation.
Forever.
Yep. All right. So we've got a couple polls we have to wrap up here. Again, White Sox Weekly coming up. Tyler Aki on that. And he will be doing the pregame as the Twins take in on the Sox in Minnesota. Game 3, 2:05. First pitch. All right. The first poll we have, and Jake Cantu is producing today. He's going to wrap these up for us. But the White Sox are finally at 500 with that win yesterday. What else do they need to do before the break? They have a couple of games next to actually, a couple games leading up to the break to actually have turned the corner, quote unquote, whatever that means to you, on the season. Win 3 of 4, clean sweep of the Twins, or just keep hitting those home runs? What's it look like, Jake?
So clean sweep, it's a little close. Clean sweep has 41.1%, and win 3 of 4 versus the Twins, 38. Keep hitting those home runs, 20%.
Okay.
Not too far behind, but it's close.
Well, you know what? I threw that in there because the home runs are equating to wins.
Yep.
You know, so it's kind of the same thing, really.
Well, again, you in 2 weeks' time, you've bypassed three teams in terms of total home runs because you were sitting there with only fewer teams hitting fewer than you were, and yet you were running in place around 500.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The more you hit home runs, I think we're going to see you actually ascend in the standings as we have, and you're getting closer. I voted for a clean sweep because I think that's the position you put yourself in. I think it's almost imperative to get today and tomorrow and be one game out going into the break, and then who knows?
Yeah, best case scenario, certainly, and that would be, that is how realistic. I hope it's very realistic. You know, 3 out of 4 is
doable because you got
very
two
doable,
in the bank.
But to go into the break one game behind the Twins after being as much as 6 games behind.
And as Len pointed out, you get a lot of Oakland and teams like that in the second half, and then you get another 9 against the Twins, I think, in September.
So. Uh-huh. Yep. And the Guardians at home, which obviously a big challenge for us now is to play better at home. We'll see them on the other side, the All-Star break. All right, so the other poll. Do you believe the Ricketts family will own the Cubs when they win their next World Series? Yes, no. Do great-grandchildren count?
Yeah.
All right, Jake, what's that look like?
Great-grandchildren is my vote, but it comes in at 14.9%. No takes the cake, 58%. Yes at 26%. So,
all right,
no.
So they're going to spin them off, or it's going to take that long?
Or both. I mean, maybe if it's now worth $6 billion in a couple, 4 or 5 years, can you tell me they're going to win a World Series in 5 years, or the team's worth is going to jump up into that rarefied air, $5 or $6 billion, and, to the family cash out at that point and take the one World Series that everyone celebrated and go home?
I think they're in it for the long haul. I just need to see more commitment about putting a winning team on the field. And we were talking about David Ross. We don't know how great a coach he is. We know he's a fan favorite. We're assuming, why wouldn't he be loved in the clubhouse?
Sure.
Right? But he doesn't have the tools to know how good a manager he is.
You can't evaluate it. You just can't. Between injuries and a bad roster. And look, my point is, when your team's on a pace to lose 99 games in a tough, usually a tough, and maybe the media aren't as tough, Ozzie said, but in a demanding city when it comes to expectations, mm-hmm. even if you like David Ross.
A storied franchise. We're not talking about the Rockies here. We're talking about the Cubs.
95% of the fan base said, no, they wouldn't change out managers. You're going to lose 99 games, and I'm not blaming them. But you would think you're upset enough that you would think there would be a 14% or a 24% instead of 4.2%.
Well, maybe people just realize that, what we do, that we can't really evaluate him
right.
because of what he has to work with. And it just seems like there are maybe a lot of patient Cubs fans, which is
every century it pays off.
Right. I mean, we're only a few years removed from the World Series championship. It's going to take another 30 years for people to start bugging out.
I don't have another 30 years. I'd like to think 20. But, maybe that's why our callers are
younger. It's your advanced age, Brian?
Well, I mean, I can't wait another 50, right? Let alone 100.
I agree.
Yeah, the 9-year-old me was crushed as a kid when 69 Cubs, rolled over and died. So. Yep. I need a little expedite this.
Yeah, we got to get a move on. And speaking of which, White Sox Weekly is next. I'm Xander. He's Brian Hanley. See you again tomorrow morning, starting at 9 a.m.
10.
Go White Sox. Or 10. Yeah, go White Sox.
You start at 9. I'll be here.
Okay. All right. We'll see you then.